Good morning, good morning. To each and every listener, I'm so happy to be coming your way once again with a short gospel message. Now, I'm glad that the Lord has a place for every one of us in His great kingdom. There's no discrimination and no partiality with the Lord. He has a place for you and a place for me. And it's so wonderful to know that God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. In other words, He gives special talents and abilities of His own choosing, and then He qualifies and sends those who have a willing heart to obey His voice. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't leave you out when He made the plan of salvation? The call is for whosoever will. You see, that included me, and it includes you too, if you will just choose to have it so. I want to tell you about the subject of our message today, and the Bible speaks a lot about it. It's about hypocrites. Oh, you say, well, why about hypocrites? Well, as I say, the Bible speaks about it. Of all the people whom Jesus rebuked so sharply, it was a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who professes to be something which he really isn't. In other words, he's pretending. Now, why they do that, there are various reasons, sometimes for social standing or business advantage, and just a great many reasons why folks do it. But they put on this front, and they put on this show. But you know, we don't fool the Lord any time. We can fool, as the old saying, some of the people some of the time, and maybe all of the people all of the some of the time. But we don't fool the Lord any of the time. He's acquainted with all of our ways, and He knows just what is in our hearts. Furthermore, we're going to reap just what we sow and what we really are, and not what folks think we are. Listen to this scripture now from Job 8 and beginning with verse 11. Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Notice especially that it says the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whatever anticipation or hope a hypocrite has of making heaven, it will come to naught. The world may praise him highly, and he may have the honor of men, but if he really isn't sincere, and of course has the truth as well, from the depths of his heart, his hope will be cut off. Notice also that one of these verses mentions a spider's web. Did you ever notice a spider as swung by a thin silver-looking web from the corner of a barn or a tree or perhaps the corner of the house? He first began with just one thread, but before long he crisscrosses these threads, and sometimes his web is just real fantastic. Some spider webs are shaped like a wheel, and others are dome-shaped. Beautiful things. Now, of course, one reason a spider weaves his web is to catch his prey. And all a fly needs to do is just whiz by that web and let his wing get caught in it some way. And it's amazing how strong that spider web is. The fly just struggles and fights and exhausts himself. But anyway, after a while, the fly gives up, and yeah, that's the time when the spider comes out and closes in on its prey. Its web has been successful, and it has caught it. Maybe it's dinner or it's supper, as we might say. Isn't it so true with a hypocrite that he pretends and fabricates a beautiful structure, but it won't stand? It might even be pleasing to the eye, but his life is just like a spider's web. It will not stand in the day of judgment. Think of what happens to the spider's web when the good lady of the house comes through and sees that web up in the corner of her ceiling. A few quick swipes of the broom, and that spider's web is gone. In fact, I think one of the things which is most frightful to people, some folks anyway, is a spider. They just don't like them. And so the spider's web is a very unwelcome thing in the corner of the house. Now, with these thoughts in mind, let me give you these two verses again from Job. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Job 20 and verse 5 now speaks of the hypocrite in this way. The triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Jesus pointed out a few characteristics of hypocrites. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. See, he points out the reason they put on this show. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And again, Jesus said it this way. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But listen how Jesus said it when he really became moved because of the Pharisees who were such hypocrites. This scripture is found in Luke 11, 43 and 44. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. I say, it is time that folks really got down to business before the Lord. He knows what is in your heart anyway, and if inwardly you have envy, malice, and hatred, and all the while you're putting on a good front, professing to serve the Lord. God knows all about this too. And little good it's going to do. It'll just be for maybe for honor or glory in this world and amount to nothing in the world to come. So I say, folks should repent of every evil in their hearts and let the blood of Christ cleanse them from every trace of hypocrisy. Now, I want you to listen to this poem entitled Mr. Skeptical's Experience. It is in part one and part two, and perhaps we'll just cover part one for this broadcast. I might say be sure to listen next week for part two. All right, this tells how he became an infidel. Part 1, How He Became an Infidel. Since the question you have asked me why it is I don't believe, I will give a candid answer, though your feelings it may grieve. Oft when young I read my Bible, and its teaching sounded plain, but I looked for their reflection in professors oft in vain. Father was a strict professor, went to church without restraint, but at home, a perfect terror. Weekday sinner, Sunday saint. Deacon Puff, in tone sublime, was esteemed a power in prayer, but would cheat a man in business, oft get mad, and sometimes swear. Sister Try-To, so they called her, living just across the way, talked like fury of her neighbors, lost her temper every day. Once I went to a class meeting, just to hear what they would say. Here they talked of tribulations in a sad and doleful way. Said they did the things they shouldn't, left undone what they should do, but they hoped to get the wages that were to the faithful due. Talked about their good desires, crooked paths and wanderings too, hopes of dodging wrath eternal, when at last their trials were through. My, I thought, if that's religion, guess that I have got it too, for as sure as I'm a sinner, that is just the way I do. Neighbor partisan on Sunday, like a saint to God would pray for the coming of his kingdom, but would act the other way. Steward Filthy talked with pathos of the heathen's bitter woe, but his money for tobacco, 10 to 1, would yearly go. Sister Pride, they called her sister, willful spurned her vows aside, and adorned in gold and satin, sought in state to heaven rise. If the joys and satisfaction in religion so abound, can you tell me why professors at the stage and dance are found? Why the theater and circus claim so oft a larger share than the missionary meeting and the place of public prayer? If by free will giving only, as the Bible oft declares, you should meet your church expenses, whence your frolics and your fares? By the tricks and strange proceedings you employ your goal to seek, we outsiders are persuaded that your God is very weak. Plotted seeking, pleasure loving, heedless of the poor man's cry, many ministers are famous for their powers on chicken pie. I have fished and hunted with them, listened to their stories droll, but they seldom ever hinted at the peril of my soul. To my mind, the Bible teaches certain things that man must do to inherit life eternal and receive a spirit new. But professors by their actions give to all of this the lie. So, I am an unbeliever. Now you have the reasons why. Friends, now that's a sad thing, isn't it? But you know there's a lot of truth to that, that the reason some folks are turned away from serving the Lord is because so many who profess to be serving Him are really and in heart hypocrites. So, it's time for folks to wake up. This doesn't prove that God isn't real, and it doesn't prove that there's nothing to religion. But the fact is, the devil is a good imitator and performs counterfeits, and nothing pleases him more, I would hardly think, than to get this hypocrite going on and others looking at him and turned away from the truth. Oh, I tell you, it's time folks woke up and give heed to the Bible teaching really in sincerity and in truth. Now, I say again, be sure to listen next week for part two of the skeptic's testimony. It ends up a little better. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.